Thank you. You know, you can never come up here casually. It's not something that I believe we are called to be casual about this. But, you know, there is a privilege in doing this. And at the same time with the privilege, there is a responsibility. And this morning, I want to share on being prepared. Now, I know Andrew, I know Ken, and how they share. And I know that for myself as well, we spend time preparing. And hopefully when we get here, the Holy Spirit will then take that preparation and take it to you. And obviously, hopefully we'll be listening to ourselves as well. But you know, last week, Andrew, you all remember exactly what Andrew shared last week, didn't you? Yeah. I love that. Sorry. Can you remember? Okay. The reason I mentioned that is because last week, Andrew spoke about persevering. He spoke about the inheritance. He spoke about the saints needing to persevere and the fact that we do have an inheritance. And it really encouraged me. It was very challenging, those of you who remember it. And I found it really encouraging because we need to persevere. There's no question about whether we persevere or not. In this day and age, we are called to persevere. But what I want to speak about is not just the inheritance, not just being ready. You know, like the wise virgins, you know, there were five wise ones and five foolish ones. The five wise ones, what was the difference between them? Five were prepared. They had their oil, their spare oil. They were ready to go. Were they any different when you looked at them between the wise and the foolish? When all 10 of them were sitting there sleeping, waiting patiently for the Lord. You couldn't tell the difference until the Lord arrived. And then all of a sudden their lamps were not there. So I want to speak about not necessarily the inheritance that we got, please, because that's critically important that we think inheritance. Think about life after death. We think about everlasting life, the spiritual side of our lives. But what I want to focus on this morning is God has called us to be part of his body here and now. And so the question I ask you in the here and now is, are you prepared? Are you ready, not just for when the Lord comes, but for what he's asking you to do right now? In other words, are we aware of his plan and purpose for your life, personally? And if you are aware of his plan and purpose, what are you doing about it? So this has been a challenge to my heart. That's why I said when this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks now. So when Andrew shared it, I was really encouraged because I could feel the Lord moving us in a direction. And that direction is to be ready for what he wants of us. Ephesians 2 verse 10, my wife's favorite verse, says, we are his workmanship prepared for the works he has put in place for us. And the problem is, I've shared it before, I spent a lot of my Christian life doing what I think I should be doing, not necessarily what the Lord wants me to do. And, you know, it can be very tiring because we end up at the end of it going, look at all the work I've done for you, Lord. And the Lord goes, that's the work you've done for you. But what about my work now? Now that you've had enough of doing your own work, come and do my work. And at that stage, you're tired and you're burnt out and you're thinking, oh my goodness me. So anyway, what we want to do, he speaks of being ready. And there's a song by the Gettys and it says, until he returns or he takes me home, I will dwell in the power of Christ. I will live in the power of Christ. And how many of us reflect on that, saying, where are we right now today? Today. And I've been challenged by the Lord, so I thought it was only fair to challenge you all. So please, I'm not here to condemn. I will go through some sections. Maybe you need to give some thought to what they say to you. But I want to suggest to you that we have so much that we don't see that the Lord has for us. And the reason we don't see it is because we're not looking for it. We don't think we're worthy. We don't think that we're capable. And the thing is, it's all about we don't think. It's got nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord. And we need to understand or come to that understanding, it's the Lord that does this. Where does the grace come from? Not from you. Where does your strength come from? Not from you. It comes from the Lord and the Lord only. And we try to do it ourselves and we wonder why we get frustrated and give up. Okay. So I just wanted to read to you from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. So if you've got your Bibles, you turn to me. I'm not Andrew with it on the board behind me. We do it the old-fashioned way, with paper, preferably. No, I don't mind. It doesn't matter. It's a word of God. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. Right. Verse 9 says, "But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I believe the Lord is building his church. I've shared it before, and I've never had reason to change my thinking. In fact, if anything, it's more and more certain in my heart that time is short. Time is coming short. The Lord is bringing his church back to him. He's restoring his church. He's building his church his way. And one of the things I need to ask you is, when you see what's happening, and when we see what's happening in the world like now, like these Olympics and what's going on, it's absolutely mind-blowing. You know, I know my wife just doesn't watch the news because it's so depressing. The question I want to ask here, of my wife as well, do you have a fear or do you get excited? Okay. I get excited. Look, I do have a bit of nervousness, but I get excited. Do you know why? Because I can also see that God is moving. Not just the enemy. What happens is because of the media and the world focus, we all see what the enemy is doing and his people. It is blatant in your face and nobody's reacting to it. Very few people react. It's like, oh dear, oh shame, and give back. What do we do about it? As a Christian, what do you do about things that you're seeing right now? There we go. Yes. There's nothing you can do except to pray the intercessory prayer, and we keep praying. I'm not a prayer warrior, but I do understand and I do take time to pray. It is a, call it a discipline, being diligent. I don't know, but it's something we need as Christians to do, is to pray more and more, because we can see the end coming very quickly. So when I look at the church throughout the world, I see God moving. I see in Africa. I'm in touch with Africa. I know what's going on there. I can see what's going on there. It's exciting. I see some of the meetings. Andrew's been part of a build conference. 25,000 pastors online. Hello. And then in Kenya. Kenya is hosting a build conference in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. And there are 2,000 pastors physically coming to a build conference because they're looking for the Lord. They're looking for what he's doing, and they want to be part of what the Lord is doing now. And we're not talking about prosperity. We're not talking about wokeism. We're talking about the gospel. The gospel. You know, Paul came to Corinthians and he said, "I have come to preach Christ and him crucified. Nothing else." And you know, the American church right now is in a complete mess when you read what's going on there. But there are some people beginning to stand up and name names. There's a book out by a lady. I won't go there. I'm not advertising. But it's challenging men. And she, as the Americans say, she has receipts. In other words, she has proof of what she's saying. And some of it is quite mild when you see what these men and women are doing. But there is a sifting coming. There's a sifting in the church. There's a sifting throughout the world of who's actually a Christian or who just goes to church. And there is a difference. People say, "I'm a believer." Listen, the devil believes in God. He doesn't follow him. He believes him. He knows what's coming. Do we believe? Yes, of course we believe. Do we follow the Lord? Are we discipling ourselves? Are we allowing ourselves to be discipled? You know, there's a call for Christians to return. And I believe it's our duty, a responsibility that we know people. When we know people who have been in the church, who've been born again, who've understood what the Lord can do for them. We need to be coming alongside. We need to be praying. We need to be building relationships with these people to bring them back in, because the Lord wants them back. He doesn't let go of anybody, ever. You know, we're looking at being steadfast. We're looking at persevering, where we're looking at allowing the Lord to do a work in us. Have we all got to the stage where we think, okay, the Lord's done his work. Right, okay, we're okay now. We're good. This is the way it is, and you know, we'll keep going. Do you honestly believe that? I don't think you do. Hope not. Sorry. I certainly don't. In some respects, with my own life, and I've shared with my wife, is I believe that the Lord is only just beginning with me. Because I'm coming to the place in the attitude of my heart saying, Lord, I want you to do this for me. I cannot do this. I'm getting old and doddery and a little bit not quite so steady as I used to be. And I don't have the energy that I used to do. You know, I have lunch and I need a bit of a nap to lie down and, you know, put it back. None of you like that, I'm sure. But you understand what I'm saying? The Lord is wanting us to let him continue to grow us, to mature us. You know, the biggest question this morning, are you prepared to let the Lord continue to build you, to change you? Because if you're content with where you are, I'm sure salvation has got nothing to do with you. You all understand that, of course. Many men and women don't. Salvation has got nothing to do with you at all. When you read Ephesians 2, it says, when we were dead in trespasses, he called us. He didn't come along and say, hey, Andrew, listen, I've checked your CV. I think you're the right man for this job. I think, you know, you've got the right integrity and a bit of humility, possibly. We've got to deal with a bit of pride here and there. So, look, I'm going to put you on the list. Does he do that? Not a chance. No ways. He says, you, come. You know, when he walked down the shore and he called the disciples, did he sit there and say, look, I just need to check out, you know, your background, your heritage, you know, who your parents, do you go to church? Are you a pious man? Are you religious? Are you holy? Whatever. Come. And they went. And when he challenged them, he said, what about you, Peter, as to who you think I am? He said, you are the Son of the living God. You have the words of life. And we need to understand that it is him and him alone that calls us. And the problem with a lot of us is whether we are prepared to submit, whether we're prepared to put our pride aside, whether we're prepared to stand in humility and say, Lord, I'm available. Do we have little areas of our life that we like to look after, to keep, to sort of keep close? No? Okay, well, I've got one or two, but I'm not going to share them with you, I don't think. Now, and we need to know that what the Lord is doing is, the Lord is moving. The harvest is ripe. And the scripture is clear. It says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. The Lord is looking for laborers in the field. He's looking for men and women who are mature, who have submitted themselves, who are coming in humility saying, Lord, what do you want of me and from me? What do you want for me? What do we want for this body? We pray often for the Lord to bring people here. My prayer, and often, and I know the guys know that, is to pray for ourselves to be in the right place for when they come. Because, you know, whether you like it or not, when people come in the door, they feel you. It's not what you say or what you look like or how well you dressed. They feel you. Do they feel your heart of acceptance, that heart of reconciliation, that heart of forgiveness, that heart of being in a place where, ask what you will of me, I'm available. You know, often people walk in the door, you know, I've been in some churches where you think, should I actually be here? I'm sure I'm not in the right place. Is the Lord here? No, we've never been there, hopefully, yeah. You know, this last week, some of you will know, I haven't been terribly well. I've had toothache, gum ache possibly is a better word, but yeah. And you've got to have teeth to have teethache. Now, anyway, so what happens is, in this time you get sick, so this is going back a good 10 days ago, when it first happens, you're saying, Lord, please, your healing, thank you for your grace, your strength. Then after about a week, you start to go, Lord, excuse me, what's happening here? You know, why are you doing this? What's going on? You can't help it. That's just where your mind goes. But then what happens is, as you contemplate it, you come to that place of saying, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you showing me in this trial? What are you showing me in this tough time? And trust me, it has been a tough time. You know, and you know, there's all sorts of things. What is he teaching me? Patience, perseverance, I'm sure. To look to him in times of trial, in times of sickness. Maybe, and look, I haven't really considered this one too much. He needs me to lose a bit of weight and maybe cut down on my eating. But I'm considering that. I'm not too sure. But yeah, but it's that attitude of heart where I've come around to the place of saying, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What are you trying to show me from all of this? And I believe what he's trying to show me is that he is still on the throne. He is still in charge. He is still the one that I need to call to. He is still the one that I need to submit to. He is still the one that I need to put my pride aside and be humble before him and say, Lord, you are the Lord. You do what you want. Please, I'm here, I'm available. And it's amazing how that changes things. How, for me, maybe from that time, the healing starts to happen. I don't know. But the Lord is gracious. He doesn't take them away, but he's with you. And I have felt his presence these last couple of days. So what I'm trying to say is that for a whole week, because my focus has been on why me, oh, I'm sore, and whatever may be the case, your focus is where? On the Lord? No, it's on you and your pain and your problem and your issues. It's not where the Lord wants us to be. And in that place, it's easy to become distracted. And the question here is, are we prepared to say, Lord, I want to serve you? You know, the Lord hasn't finished with us. Are we willing to change? Are we, I mean, hey, I'm getting old. But I take heart that Nathan, I think Nathan's prophet David, wasn't called until he was over 70. So, hallelujah. Time for me still, huh? Bernie, we're okay. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Is we need to be in the place, an attitude of heart says, Lord, I still want to grow. I still want to change. The Lord is looking for mature people for his work. You know, there's work that the Lord has, that an inheritance, and also we come back to this inheritance, that maybe we are not in the place of accepting inheritance, of being able to manage the inheritance that he has for us. We need to think about this. You know, in the what Paul was talking about inheritance, I don't know if you know the Roman law. In the Roman law in the old days, a Roman high family could go and pick a boy, not a girl generally, sorry, but go and pick a boy from a poor family, some kid that had potential, and he'd bring him into his home and he'd adopt him. And when he got adopted in the Roman law, he became that man's son in terms of inheritance, in terms of responsibility, in terms of authority, in terms of the entire estate. He became that man's son. And so then they spent time training him and working him, quite hard sometimes, so that when he was of age, he was qualified to take up the inheritance of his father. And I believe that must apply to us as well. We have an inheritance, but I think sometimes, and I look back in my life, was I ready to accept this inheritance? Was I ready to inherit? No. And I believe the Lord is wanting to build us. I'm not saying, please, salvation belongs to the Lord. He's got nothing to do with us. What I'm talking about is not your salvation. I'm talking about what the Lord has got for us now. And I believe he has got so much for us that we're missing out on, sometimes because we're not discerning, we're not listening, we're not looking, but sometimes maybe we're not actually ready. I say sometimes. For me, I've had to check myself, saying, if the Lord has got something for me, am I ready to accept what he has for me? Because he has a responsibility, there's an authority, but you know, you've got to be in the right place of accepting that. You know, he sees our heart. And he doesn't want men and women who are religious, religion will never save you. And I'll be quite open about it. Religion will never save you. It's the faith that we have. It is faith without works. You know, one of the biggest problems with people today, am I waffling now? No. If the biggest problem with people today, or people within the church, is like the Galatians. They start off in the Spirit, salvation, and they go along and they're heading towards to sanctification. They're walking and then they think, well, you know, God, you're not doing this like I think you should be doing it. So let me help you, please. I need to get involved in my own life in building me to make a better Christian. And you know what? As soon as you put your own hand in your life, you're gone. You know, you're going to become religious. You will be an outward appearance of being a pious, holy man or woman. But inside, there's still a cesspit. It's not where the Lord wants us to be. And that is because we want to do what the Lord is doing. We take over and say, Lord, let me do this. Look, I know what I want to do here. It's because we actually don't like the flesh, does not like what the Lord wants from us. How many of us experience, we were talking to Bertie earlier on, you know, we come here and somebody shares a word and somebody shares something that you think, oh no, didn't really want to hear that. And the reason you don't want to hear it is because you now heard it, the Holy Spirit starts to prod you and go, you need to be doing this now. And you think, no, I don't actually really know if I want to do this. So we get to that stage of going, so Lord, I don't know if I want to actually hear you talking to me. Because every time he speaks to me, he puts something in my heart that now challenges me. And then once it challenges you, you get that conviction. And then you've got to do something about it. Because, you know, we've always got a choice, eh? We haven't got a choice in our salvation. That's done. That's the Lord's job. And he's done it. But, you know, he puts things before us. And we have now the free will choice to say, yes, Lord, or no, Lord. And you know, he has just so much more for us. And I think we need to be careful that we don't let old habits, we don't let the old lifestyles get in the way of what the Lord wants to do with us. Because I think we can live, got to be careful here. We can live a mediocre Christian life. We can drift along, get up every morning, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, go to bed every night. And Lord, when are you going to do something? Lord, we need some excitement. But the day just go on and on. The question is, are you preparing yourself when the Lord says, okay, my brother, my sister, come, I've got something exciting for you. Are we available? We're going to be, yes, I'm available. But he'll say, but you're not ready. You're not ready for what I have for you. And so my challenge this morning is to me, hey, the Lord has been talking to me quite seriously about this, because there are things that I genuinely think, okay, I'm all right. Oh my God, I get up in the morning, yes, we have a quiet time and we pray and read the word and listen to my wife playing music, which is quite exciting sometimes when she does it. No. So we end up saying, Lord, I'm ready. And the Lord says, yes, no, my son. No, look, Paul, come here. I want to talk to you. What about this and this and this? You know, we talk about, I'm sorry Mike's not here this morning, but you know, we talk about doctrines. Do you know, doctrines are exciting things. How much time have I got? Oh, lots of time. Yes, please. Doctrines, we all understand doctrines. Do we all understand what I mean by doctrines? It's the Christian faith. It's a way that we should live. It's the things that we should believe. It's the way we should walk in the Lord. The question then that I want to ask is that, does your lifestyle match up to your doctrines that you believe in? Because doctrines are not just a belief. Doctrines are a lifestyle. It's the way the scripture works. And the one problem we don't like is that Jesus himself says, if any man would follow after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. We do not like the cross. The flesh does not like the cross. The carnal man doesn't like the cross. But Jesus himself said, this is the way you must come. If you want to follow me, you need to be like me. Jesus denied himself to the point of death and shedding his blood for us. He could have called down 10,000 angels and said, hey guys, come up, obliterate these people. I'm tired of them. He could have quite easily done that. He had the power to do it. But he didn't. He came as a man, and he suffered as a man. You know, we need to be careful that we don't get tired. I don't. Anybody here get tired? Okay. Right. What I want to suggest to you here, you need to look at your lifestyles. You need to look at your service to the Lord. You need to look at where you are. And you need to say, Lord, show me what you want of me. Show me what you want. And sometimes we work, we get service. Well, I've been serving the Lord for a little while. And so it's Andrew, Susan, Jeanette, all of you. We've all been serving the Lord for quite some time. And you can get to that stage and say, okay, Lord, whew, I need a breath. I'm tired. And I do understand that. I've been to the stage in a church where I got burnt out. Burnt out spiritually, emotionally, physically. And you know why? Doing my own thing. I'm doing what I think the Lord wants, not what he wants. So now I've had to come to the place saying, stop, Lord, show me what you want. Now I'm too tired now to do this and to rely on his grace. You know, is it Luke 17? Let me just have a look. Luke 17 is a lovely passage of scripture. Because we sometimes, I'll get to you. Sorry, Luke 17. Okay. Luke 17:7 speaks of a master and a servant. And he says, yeah, what master, which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? Afterwards, you will eat and drink. How many of us actually look for approval for what we do for the Lord? How many of us look for acclamation? How many of us look for that congratulations for what we do for the Lord? I'm sure none of you have been there, but I know for myself, I've been there. But you know, you read that scripture, and the scripture's clear. He says here, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all these things, when you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. So we need to understand who we are here. If we are prepared to submit ourselves, to put aside our pride, and come before him in humility, we need to understand who we are. We are servants. And when we do something, I know myself, you do something really serious in the church, you think, and you go, and everybody goes, and? And you think, excuse me, didn't you see what I've just done? Excuse me, hello? But you know what the Lord says? Who are you doing this for? People? Man? The pastor? Not that we shouldn't do it for you. Please don't misunderstand me. But who are you doing this for? You're doing it for the Lord. He's the one that will reward you. Not man. And there are too many churches today where the whole system works on who can do what, who's got the comms, who's got the money, who's got the ability to make things happen in the world. And the Lord's not interested anymore. And he's saying, I don't want that. I want Holy Spirit to lead you. I want the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to guide you, to give you the discernment for what you want. You know, we have old habits. And we get quite caught up in our old habits. And the question that I've been challenged with, we need to be careful with the carnal man. Are we prepared to continue to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves and say, Lord, show me. I want to follow you. Because in following the Lord, it's putting aside your fleshly nature, your natural things. And it is natural. Do we stumble? Do we fall? Are we flawed? Yes. Does the Lord know that? Yes. Does the Lord have grace for us? If you read, there's quite a few of the Psalms speak about the grace. You know, we sometimes think that grace is a New Testament thing. But, you know, it's not. It goes right back to the beginning when God started. And a lot of the Psalms, I'm just trying to find the Psalms that he speaks of. It's Psalm Psalm 145, 130 and Psalm 86, where he speaks about the fact that he is patient and abounding in grace. Right from the time, you know, when David was writing his Psalms, and even further back, the Lord has always had grace. He's patient and he is abounding in grace. Why did the Lord remove Israel? Remove Israel, listen to me, that's quite fierce. Why did the Lord remove Israel and put them into captivity and disperse them? Because right from the beginning he said, I will if you don't. You know, and they ignored him, they went against him, and they refused to allow him access to their hearts. They would not soften their hearts, they would not submit to him at all. So we need to be aware that if we're not in a place of wanting to submit to the Lord, we can come to a place where we can become hard of heart. And when we can become hard of heart, we're not paying attention to what the Lord wants. We can come to a place where we can be deceived. You know, Paul himself, he speaks and he says that, Matthew 24:24, Matthew says, not Paul, but Paul does it as well. He said, we need to be careful because false preachers, false doctrines, false Bibles will arise that will deceive even the elect. So what I'm saying is, it's not that you would deliberately lose your way or anything else like that. But if we're not paying attention to the Lord, if we're not spending time with the Lord, we're not praying. However, look, I know my wife and I have totally different quiet times. Or when I say quiet times, time that we spend with the Lord. We're totally different. Emma, music. My wife, music. I like to read. I like to pray. I like to get into it. I mean, she'd fall asleep in about the first 2 minutes. So she plays music and I read. Where we go. But what I'm saying is each of us is different. But it all boils down to, are you spending quality time with the Lord? You have got to do this. We'll lose sight of what the Lord wants of us. You know, in Ephesians, it speaks about the fact that it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord that does the work for us. And we need to understand it's not of ourselves. It's of the Lord. And you know, one thing is we need to be like, you know, the virgins. They made sure their oil was topped up. What does the oil speak of in Scripture? It normally speaks of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is who we've been given to build us, to give us the grace, to give us the strength. We have the Word and the Holy Spirit, and the two go together. And that is the Word of the Lord, and is made real by the Holy Spirit. It reveals to us what he's trying to say. And you know, we are in a place where we need to be prepared. We need that oil. And that oil, that oil speaks of that supernatural presence in your life, that invisible supernatural presence in your life that allows you to serve the Lord. And it's the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives which gives us that grace, the power, the perseverance. It's him that does it. The problem is we try to do it ourselves. And so this morning, I really want to encourage you that we need to seek the Lord, to seek his grace. He doesn't want to lose anybody. And this morning, I don't want to condemn anybody. I want to challenge you. But I want to say to you that we have been given this incredible grace. Do we fall? Do we stumble? Are we flawed? Yes. But we have the Lord's forgiveness. The Lord is forgiving. He is gracious. He is patient. He's persevering with us. We may let go. He never does, and he never will. We have seen the Lord's faithfulness in our lives. Sometimes we look forward and think, wow, where are we going with this? But we've seen his faithfulness, and we need to cling in faith to what the Lord is still wanting to do. We need to look at the fact that the Lord has got much more exciting things coming. Are they going to be maybe a little bit, I need to be careful here, but make you a bit nervous? I think there are times are coming when we will make us a bit nervous. But you know what? It'll be exciting because the Lord will be involved, and we need to make sure we wear where the Lord can use us with the grace and the strength that comes from him. And you know, you sometimes think, oh, well, it's a bit late in life for this. There's still time, Bernie. Don't worry. And you know, we think, well, I'm too old. I'm too weak. I'm uneducated. I haven't read the Bible. I've never been to theological college. lucky you. And we end up, shut up, I'll be quiet. People might be listening. Sorry, anybody online, if I offended you. But we need to be in that place where we can see what he's doing. We can see what he wants. Because no matter who we are, no matter where we are, we can be frail, we can be sick, we can be disabled, we can be whatever. We can't do it. And you know what? You cannot do it. You cannot do it. But you know who can? The Holy Spirit comes in and he uses you. Where do you fit in the church? What is your part in the church? You know what? The Lord's got a place for everyone. Not everybody is called to stand here. There are times when I'd rather sit down there. I'm being honest about this because it's not just a challenge, but there's a responsibility that I have to speak the truth. And we need to speak the truth to understand that we ourselves need to submit ourselves to the Lord. He cannot use us if we're in that place of holding on to our own lives. So for me this morning, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit in the Lord is patient and abounding in grace. And I just wanted to close off with a bit of scripture from 2 Peter. And just in passing, while I look for the scripture, there's a section in Luke 1:17 when he talks about John. He talks about who John is. And he speaks about a man who came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I see that as part of my responsibility, is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Are we prepared for the Lord? Not just at the end of our lives or when he returns, but now, for what he wants to do now. The Lord is moving, and I really want to be where I can be used. What does that mean? I don't know, but am I available? Am I ready? Maybe available, yes. Am I totally ready? I probably never will be, but I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. So we're going to read from 2 Peter 1. And if I could read a couple of verses, it starts in here, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The promises of this divine nature, that he's given us everything that we need. We need to avail ourselves. It's like having a bank account. I'm sure you've heard the analogy used before. You've got a checkbook. It's already been signed by the boss. You can fill it in for whatever you want. But you look at it and think, I don't know if I want to. And there's a bank account there. All you've got to do is cash the check. And we don't do it for whatever reasons. You know, and in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the life everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in Luke, again, there's a section there where he talks about the faithful servant. And he talks about the faithful servant being girded, in other words, fully dressed and ready with his lamps trimmed and alight, waiting for the master, waiting so that when he knocks on the door, he opens it immediately. In other words, he's there. Girded, meaning dressed, obviously, I think, and with his lamp alight and trimmed and ready to go. Just like the virgins, ready, prepared to go. For when he comes, he's going to say, come. I want to be where he wants. I really do. And so we need to live a life that is seeking him. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But we can repent. We can say, Lord, sorry, forgive me. I want to do this. What is your attitude? Do you want to be part of what the Lord has got planned? Because I believe he has got so much excitement for us. Yes, it may be a little bit, what do they call it, edgy. Is that the right expression these days? But he has got something special for us. And so I want to encourage you. You may not stand at the front. You may not sing with a worship team. You may not be whatever. But that's not. The Lord is wanting people right where you are to say, yes, Lord, I'll serve you. And he'll put you in the right place. You know, we are people of hope passing through a dying world. And we can bring hope to dying people. And the question is, do people see that hope in you? Do they see that light shining in you? And you know, the Lord can give it to us. He will give it to us. He wants us to have it. So for me this morning, I want to encourage you. Have a look and see what the Lord wants of you. Put yourself and say, Lord, where am I? I've said it before. Examine yourself. Where you see faults, the Lord will point them out. Repent. Forgive. Forgive me, Lord, please. And the Lord is gracious to forgive you. And he wants a people of power. You know, there's that song. For I'm building a people of power who will move through this land by my spirit. That time is coming. He is building his people of power. So please, give some thought to what the Lord wants of us. Are we prepared? It's just an attitude, a decision. It all comes down to decisions. Do I want to be there where the Lord wants me? And yes, I do. And I believe he has so much for us. So in closing, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. And he has brought us here for his work, for his purpose, and for his plan. And I really want to be a part of it. So we thank you. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this morning, Lord. We want to thank you for your word, Lord. We want to thank you for the grace that you show us, Lord, the strength that you give us. Lord, and most of all, the forgiveness when we come before you, Lord, knowing that, Lord, we have missed that mark, Lord. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, our attitude would be, yes, Lord, I want it, what it is that you have for us. Whatever it may be, that we put our pride aside, Lord, that we'd humble ourselves, we'd submit to you, Lord, to put ourselves off of our own throne and put you back on the throne of our lives, Lord. That, Lord, you would be in control of our lives. Oh, Lord, help us. The flesh is alive and well, Lord, but you, Lord, have defeated the flesh. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, glorify, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that you'd move, that you'd convict. Lord, that you'd encourage, that you'd build. Lord, that your love would abound here this morning. So I thank you, Jesus. We praise you, worship you, and glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.